Warning, this show contains strong language and topics that some viewers may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, wrestling fans, and welcome to Super City. I am Andy Kwan, and with me, as always, is Liam Dunn.
It's good to be here, Andy. Thank you for introducing me first, so that Liam can continue his spiel after I've been introduced.
And with me, as always, is Sam Brooks.
Hey, what's Liam doing?
What's Liam doing?
Hey, oh! Gen Wanna!
What? Hello!
Show's
I'm Liam!
On. Fuck's sake. Pokemon Go has ruined my life, and I'm not even playing it at the moment.
And I don't... How do you get Pokemon Go in this country? You can't
Illegally.
It's technically not illegal.
Unofficially.
Yes, there you go. Come here, Pidgeotto!
How's your army of 50 Rattatas and 29 Pidgeys? How's it going?
I got a Pidgeotto and Eradicate from it.
Do you have to go into a shop and stuff like that?
Let me turn it off so I can talk to you.
Yes, please.
Right, okay.
BTW, this is a show!
Right, what were you saying?
Do you have to, go into a shop just to catch a fucking Pikachu? Oh! There seems to be a fucking Mewtwo in this petrol station. I must go in for some reason.
I like how you think the
rarest Pokemon, the rarest Pokemon other than Mew would be in the local BP garage. How far do you think you would have to go to get Mewtwo? I'll just go 5 minutes up the road, Barry. That's not how it works.
I hear there's a spa on the A1 that has a Mewtwo going around. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
Have you seen the legendary Mew event that's going on? No, Andy, where is it happening? The local park! Great.
Happening in this field right here.
Yeah, better be in some kind of fucking army barracks or something. You're like,
yeah, Area 51.
Is this worth my life, potentially? Yes!
If you ask Liam, yeah.
To answer your question, no, you don't have to go into a shop. I have caught several Pokemon just sitting in my home. You can have a thing called incense where more Pokemon flock towards you. For example, I had a Wartortle out on the front of my house, the front door, and then the game crashed and I lost the Wartortle, never to be seen again.
So do you have to physically open your door, go outside and then do it?
That's what you're meant to do, but Liam is lazy.
It's called Pokemon Go. You go around the world and capture Pokemon, and you can go to Pokemon gyms. And there's things called Pokestops where you can get free Pokeballs and eggs. That's how it works. That's why it's called Pokemon Go.
So that doesn't explain why you haven't left your house yet, you hermit.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Like I said, if you heard me earlier, I said that you can have an incense and Pokemon can flock towards you, but the incense only lasts for 30 minutes, which means that I can stay in the comfort of my own home and get Wartortles and Eevees and everything.
Don't you look like a weirdo if you walk out your house, go up your driveway, go, "Woo! I got a Pokemon!" and then just go back inside again?
Not necessarily. I was shopping in Sainsbury's and I got a Paris. A Paris showed up in the aisle. It was fucking amazing. And I didn't care.
So what, were you playing the game whilst you're shopping?
Yeah.
Does it pop up on your phone going, "Woo, there's a Pokemon here"?
No, I was playing it on my phone because you've got to go around the world. It's a point.
You have to go around the world to get Pokemon, so naturally his first trip out is to Sainsbury's.
Fuck off, no! Right, it's legit, you have to go. There was a Paris in Sainsbury's. Alright, I know it sounds weird, but the Paris in Sainsbury's does not show up in my house. So, Paris are not native to my street. They're native to Sainsbury's.
So you're going out of the way for a terrible bug Pokemon. Great.
Gotta catch them all, my friend. Gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all, despite how inconsequential they are.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how to Paris, as they say in the song.
That's not how they say it in the song.
Anyway, right, we may as well move on. This isn't the Pokemon Go show. This is the Supla! And of course, we are talking all things wrestling. So we may as well talk about the thing that everybody wants us to talk about.
Riddles!
I was going to say Final Deletion, but if you want your riddle, you can
He wants a riddle.
He wants a riddle. I didn't think this. I was going to save it until after
the break.
Because
I want a roll! Last week, I got one right. This week, I'm going to get no one right. And I'm going to slowly but surely, through the process of just grinding it out, I will get 61 and 60. That's my plan.
You know it's impossible to get that before the end of the year, right?
Shut up!
I love how you think this is like an RPG, but okay. Anyway, so we may as well go to riddles. I was going to talk about the final deletion, but Andy wants his riddle. We may well knock... I can't even talk. May as well knock it out whilst we're here. So, let's start with...
Yeah!
The riddle streak! So, Andy, what are we on? What are we on, Sam?
I believe we are sat at 2 and 61.
Wow. Okay, so he's making some progress.
Let's see
if he can make this 3 and 61.
Here we go, Barry.
Slowly but surely.
Okay, get ready. Get ready for the riddle music, and here we go. A man is found murdered on a Sunday morning. His wife calls the police, who question the wife and the staff. And they give the following alibis. You might want to write this down.
Okay.
Okay, have you got a pen and paper?
Yes.
Okay, right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. The wife says she was sleeping at the time of the murder. The butler says he was cleaning the closet. The gardener says that he was picking vegetables. The maid said she was getting the mail. And the cook said he was preparing breakfast. Immediately, the police arrested the murderer. Who did it, and how did the police know they were the culprit?
I know. I've already got it, Andy.
Who was doing the mail?
There's no pressure.
Who was doing the mail?
The maid was doing the mail.
Who was doing breakfast? The cook, yeah?
The cook was doing breakfast.
Okay, so when was he murdered again?
He was murdered on a Sunday morning.
There's no breakfast on Sundays. There are no gardens on Sundays. What's the logic here, Andy? Give us your rationale.
Who did it, and how did the police know?
I can't read my writing. What was the butler doing?
Right.
He can't read his own writing.
No, listen
to the alibis. Listen to the alibis, okay?
Yeah, alright.
The wife, sleeping. The butler, cleaning the closet. The gardener, picking vegetables. The maid, getting the mail. The cook, preparing breakfast. Who did it, and how did they know?
He stumped. Come on, anything.
You've
words.
Got five! There's
okay, so
one
how
of the five that I mentioned!
How many guesses do I get?
Two.
One.
The two do count without, like, no bullshit DQ.
No, just put forward
an answer.
There's only one, because he's got one out of five. This is a multiple choice, he's only got one shot. I'm not giving him multiple, because if it was open-ended, I'd give him two or three shots. You've got a one in five chance of getting this right. So you've got one shot.
What is but a grain of sand in the lost column
at
this
point? So the wife is sleeping.
Oh, yep.
My God.
The butler is cleaning the closet.
Yeah.
The gardener is doing vegetables.
Yeah.
He's picking vegetables. He's not doing them.
Yeah, I know what you know what. So the maid is doing the mail, picking up the mail.
Yeah.
And the cook is doing breakfast. Well, that's logical.
Yeah.
Because it's morning, so they'll be cooking breakfast.
God.
So, the mail is... Ah! The mail is logical. So that's fine. So, it's probably... So, the gardener is doing the veg. But then, how do they do it? No. Would it be the gardener? Because the gardener, the vegetables would have been done for breakfast.
You tell us, Andy.
You tell us.
I'm going to go with... The butler.
Oh.
Oh, the
because
butler. Okay, so you
don't
think the
need
butler
to clean a fucking closet, and he obviously killed them. In this, they're done. I'm Sherlock Holmes.
You say you don't need to clean a closet. Tell that to Mr. Eminem.
Fuck. It's probably the gardener, then, isn't it? Fuck.
No, wait. He said the butler. He said the butler.
It's gonna
sure
be
the
gardener because he would have done the vegetables already.
No.
Fuck.
You landed on the butler, and you claim because closets don't need to be cleaned, right? That is the answer I have to take from you. Right?
And even then, even if he didn't want that to be the answer, he would instead settle for the gardener as his answer.
Right, well, either way, he settled for the butler.
Yeah.
Right, he said the butler. He was so certain. Andy, you are wrong!
I knew I'd be wrong.
And you know what? Even if you did guess Senior Benjamin, you would also be wrong.
Yeah, if you guessed Gardener, you would still be wrong. It was the maid, because there is no mail on Sundays. Insert the clip now from Harry Potter.
Boop.
That's if we can get away with that for copyright.
Probably won't. I'll just double it.
Yeah.
Right. He was so confident. He was so confident, bless him.
I love how he's trying to go through each one as well to fucking rationalise it. Anyway, so that means that it is 62-2!
Ding. Do you feel good? Do you feel accomplished?
No! I don't feel fucking good, do I?
If you just watched the first Harry Potter film, you'd have known that answer.
You would have
known.
No, not even that. If he lived in this country for 25 years, he would know.
Sometimes, some places do mail.
Are you from Canada?
Maybe.
You're not from Canada, you're
from
Spalding.
No, okay, fine, shut up, I'm a fucking idiot. Just move on.
Wow, okay, getting pretty dark already.
So, with that in mind, of course, we may as well talk about something that has kind of torn the wrestling world apart. It has divided a lot of fans. Some have said it was entertaining and thrilling and one of the most innovative segments and matches that pro wrestling has ever had. The other half have said that this is probably one of the worst things that they've ever seen. It is a mockery to professional wrestling and it should never be shown again. We are, of course, talking about the final deletion, which, of course, you can watch our reactions on the Supla. On Supla.com and as well as YouTube.com/TheSuplaPodcast.
Smooth.
Added a ding there. There you go. Right. So, of course, the world has been a little bit torn apart. If you want to get our opinions, watch the video. We kind of go over it. But, I mean, for me, after digesting it and obviously seeing some of the stuff on TNA last night, I agree with Sam. I feel like my entire attitude of Matt Hardy has changed.
Mm.
Now, not to give too much of a history lesson, but going back to 2005, after Matt got released from WWE, I was a big Matt Hardy fan, which is weird because I am now. I then became a big Edge fan, but I was a big Matt Hardy fan. I thought he was unjustly fired, and he got a lot of momentum. They brought him back for about 5 years. Matt never could capitalize on it. And eventually he gave up WWE and decided to go to the indie scene and eventually rejoin TNA every now and then with his brother. But Matt Hardy, over those, I'd say about 10 years or so, he started to grate on me a little bit. He used social media far too much. He used it as an outlet for every little thing that went wrong. He didn't like people. And it was just annoying. And then he won the TNA world title and then he vacated it on YouTube, only to regain it. Then there was a double turn. I just dropped my phone. And it was just awful. And I hated it. And then he started feuding with Jeff Hardy. And I can't remember where the feud started. I'm not a big TNA fan. I don't watch it that much, I'll be honest. It's just not my cup of tea. But there was a feud that started. And then Matt Hardy, I think he got dropped on his head by Jeff. And that's how he became broken. And at first, I really fucking hated the broken gimmick. I hated it. It was stupid. It was dumb. He's speaking with an African accent for no reason. He looks like a really young Doc Brown and no one knows why. But then this has started to kind of gain a bit of traction with me. The final deletion, and this is just my opinion, right? I know a lot of TNA fanboys are getting ready with the keyboards. If they're watching, getting ready with the keyboards to have a go, right? But in my opinion, it was bad.
Mm-hmm.
But
the drizzling of drizzling shit.
No. It was so bad that it was good. No.
Yeah.
It was. It's like I said in my reaction video. It is the room of professional wrestling. It's
absolutely
not meant. I think the Hardys are getting the last laugh over people who are really hating this, such as Andy. It's not meant to be taken seriously.
Not at all.
It is.
No, Andy, here's a lesson for you. Things in life, in general, are a lot more fun if you don't take it seriously.
And I've got to be honest, right, and I'm going to get a little bit heavy here, but after shootings in gay nightclubs and the killing of black civilians, something like this is kind of needed, right? And I know it's for a niche market in the wrestling world, but that we just need something that is just, that just put a smile on your face, kind of. And that's what this was. Yes, it was a bad segment. Yes, it was a bad match. Yes, it was cheesy and corny and made no sense. But for the 17 minutes that it was on my television, I enjoyed it. I laughed. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was stupid, but it was so stupid that it was funny.
Yeah. And it's as you and also said, you would rather watch that over than the WWE's Golden Truth. What the WWE would view as decent comedy. For me, WWE's decent comedy isn't as much as it's unfunny, it's that it's boring. With the final deletion, it was fun. It was fun to watch. They did an amazing job of hyping it. Something that TNA has previously failed to do for anything else that I can remember.
And their rating showed it.
And the rating showed it. They increased it. They increased the ratings with it. And it's, they set out what they wanted to do. I believe this whole thing, this whole final deletion came about because Dixie Carter wanted something that couldn't be spoiled and therefore built up the anticipation for it and put it on Impact. And it worked. People tuned in. It was very splitting. But I agree with Liam. It's absolutely terrible. But I love it because it's terrible.
We may as well hear from the cynical Grinch right now.
No, he hates it because it's not UFC, right?
No. It's people like you two that are going to keep this thing alive when it should just stop existing. And it's people like you that... I know Tommy Wiseau was a millionaire before.
I was going to say, Andy is the only person...
Film,
Andy is the only person on the planet who doesn't understand the joke of The Room. And therefore, he doesn't understand the joke of Final Deletion.
No, I know the joke is it's so bad, it's just fucking hilarious.
Never seen The Room!
I have! I saw it with you!
I don't remember showing it you. Was this when I wanted to show you Insidious and then you pussied out?
Perhaps.
Right, okay, there we go.
The point is that even though the guy was a millionaire before and he financed it himself and wrote it himself and starred in it himself, blah, 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 he's probably now even more rich because of people fucking, like, watching it and paying to see it. It's just like him buying the DVDs and stuff.
Well, yes,
like,
Andy,
if it's
but
that bad,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yes, he now has a lot more money. Why is that a problem?
Also, the other thing as well, as a filmmaker, and I'm sure Sam can agree with me on this, the reason why some people admire Tommy Wiseau, yes, The Room is a bad movie, and yes, it's so bad it's good, but the other thing as well is that he funded the movie entirely of himself. He didn't answer to anybody. He got to make the film that he wanted to make.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be giving people money and ratings for things that are shit. Like, Goat Simulator... Ironically, I did buy and didn't work, so I asked for a refund. But the thing is, like, I realized...
Are you sure
that
it didn't work and it wasn't just the game?
No, it was my shit laptop.
The physics are really shit.
The game is inherently broken to begin with, and the people who made that game are probably fucking rich now from something that didn't even work. So it's like saying...
But that's the joke!
Yeah, but the problem is that you're rewarding someone for shit, and then when there's something good, no one... gives them any money! Or fucking gives them any ratings! So they go out of business! It's not fucking fair!
Name an example of that.
Any fucking independent!
Name an example. Anything? Anything.
I don't know. Liam will know more about it than me. But right. Like, something like, I don't know, PWG deserves more money thrown at it. But
PWG's doing just fine.
I know they're doing fine, but they deserve more money and stuff.
Well, everyone deserves more money, Andy.
Not these fucking tools that fucking use drones and don't understand what editing is. Yeah, I don't edit.
Okay.
I know.
The editing was bad.
Bad, but then again, the WWE's own version, which we will talk about later, is also edited poorly.
But Andy's just missing the joke.
No, I don't think he's not missing the joke. He understands the joke. He just doesn't find it funny.
No, and I don't get it, and I find it infuriating when there's other things out there that probably deserve the ratings and the time and the money.
But the thing is, Impact is in a very unique scenario. You can say, yes, PWG deserves more, but the way PWG showcases their product to their fans is a lot more different from the way TNA does. TNA yes. is on pop TV. PWG doesn't have a TV deal. Exactly. They circulate DVDs. The way that they promote their product is entirely different.
And the other thing as well, Andy, is what you're forgetting is that TNA and PWG, yes, they're both wrestling promotions, but they're very, very different. And
they
I'm not just saying in the production quality. Let's just say production quality is not a factor here, right? Let's just say that for the time being, both PWG and TNA have the same amount of money.
You're missing my point entirely.
No, I get what you mean. You're saying that people like PWG deserves more money, and I get what you mean. But the thing is that that's a different kind of show.
Yeah, but it's not right? just that. Like, this thing was shit. This Hardy versus Hardy thing is god-awful. But, like, it's like morbid curiosity. It's wrong. If there's a car crash on a motorway or on a freeway, one of the only reasons why there's a massive pile-up is because assholes drive really slow to see what happened. That's one of the reasons why it happens.
Well, the difference between this and a car crash is that in a car
crash... This thing was a car crash! It was a fucking car wreck!
No, no, no. In a car crash, people die and get injured.
No, this thing was an abomination of just...
Are you offended by it?
Yes! It was so bad!
You're offended by a poorly scripted wrestling match that everyone's having fun with.
Yes! That was awful. It was embarrassing. The thing on Raw was embarrassing.
So in your world, everything would just be, what?
Zack Sabre Jr.
Zack Sabre Jr., right.
Zack Sabre Jr. versus Zack Sabre Jr. for every match on every wrestling show ever.
It would just be a straight up, no personalities, no gimmicks, nothing. People just lace up a pair of boots, go into a wrestling
ironically,
ring.
Ironically, there's bits on Impact that are good. And ironically, there's bits on Raw and WWE that are good. But the thing is, you've just I don't know, you've given TNA this thing where it's like, maybe we'll just keep putting on shit, maybe we'll stay on the air and
But if people enjoy it, if people enjoy the shit, then why is that bad?
Yeah, that's the thing. The thing is, I'm going back to my original point, after having a month of just awful events happen constantly, there's the shootings in the nightclub, there was the killings of black civilians,
there
Brexit,
are other things you
there's
go
Brexit,
to for escapism.
Theresa May, right? But then you turn to TNA and it's just 20 minutes where you can turn off your head and you can just enjoy the fucking stupidity.
Yeah. Go watch Netflix. Go have a wank.
I don't
want to
watch Netflix. I don't
want
to
do anything.
Wank.
Don't fucking give these fucking idiots ratings. It's not, you can do
Why?
Other things to escape from the realities of life, for God's sake.
Yes, but if they get ratings and they get money, so what? Why is that a bad thing?
It's not even...
No, people have fun with the shit. That's the point you're missing. Just because you don't have fun with it, you can't automatically say, no, it's shit and no one has fun with it, therefore no one's enjoying it, therefore it's pointless.
If it was up to Andy, we would all live in a world that was black and white and grey, right? Sorry, not black and white, because that's apparently racist, so everyone would be grey. Everyone would live
in... So we'd live in Sin City. We'd live
in
Sin City.
We'd live in Sin City.
Right.
Right? We'd all have the same haircut and would all only have to laugh at one thing, which was semen. Right. That's all we would be able to
Just the notion of semen.
Yes, that's all we would be allowed.
See, you're laughing now. You're laughing right now. You're proving the point.
That's not true. Do not animate whatever. Don't do any of that.
Tell me not to do things, I'm going to do them. Anyway, I think we should talk about some of the fallout in TNA in regards to the final deletion. Namely,
deletion.
Namely, Destination X. Their one night only event, which just happened. Oh boy, there's a lot of problems. And I'm here to give you the lowdown.
Oh, thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome. Throughout this entire event, we had more promos from Broken Matt Hardy. All cinematic, all in the style of Final Deletion. Building up to the public deletion of Brother Nero. So the show opens with Matt Hardy christening his dilapidated boat as Skarsgård. And then he goes off into his little pond and he buries the material remains of Brother Nero.
So he just gets all these clothes and just sticks it in a...
Yeah, and the broken willow umbrella and just puts it at the bottom of a lake. All while In the Pines plays in the background. It was rather nice, actually. And this, of course, leads to our first match of the evening, which was an X Division ladder match to determine the number one contender for Eddie Edwards' X Division title.
Does this have a bearing on the deletion?
No.
Right, let's just skip to the deletion stuff.
Okay, yeah. Then. I'll, of course, just say all the matches and everything, because I feel like the final deletion was made with the purpose of bringing more eyes to TNA.
Okay.
So, DJZ is now number one contender, and then Mike Bennett attacked him after the match. Okay, fine. Eddie Edwards and Lashley cut a promo, hyping the main event. Davey Richards comes back. No one knew he was gone. Oh, well.
It's TNA for you, really.
Yeah, really.
It's Davey Richards for you.
Yeah, but then we go to more Broken Matt Hardy, where we see Hardy Cinema, or Hardy Theatre, whatever they called it, in Matt Hardy's abode. Inviting all of his friends and all of his friends' children.
Also, I noticed Rebby Sky walking around that entire segment in a corset, which I didn't think would be comfortable to be wearing every day.
Didn't think so.
But that's her prerogative, I guess. It just pushes up her tits more.
Right. So much into her own shit. But anyway.
Can't really complain, I suppose.
You wouldn't. So...
I'm a man, and I'm straight.
Tits.
Sure. I like tits and vaginas. Yeah, sure, Andy, why not? Go with
to
that.
Be fair, you pointed that out too, Liam.
Yeah, like...
What?
Yeah, I never knew it was so big her boobs
are. But we're not the only ones.
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying.
I watched other reactions, and, like, fucking Adam Lompier was like, her tits are huge. I'm like...
They are! They're ridiculously big!
That's not even normal. That's not even a good kind of big.
Push-up bras, gentlemen. But anyway. A viewing party for the final deletion, which... doesn't make sense in the universe, but fuck it, who cares? And then, I think my favorite part of this particular scene was, Rebby Sky with Maxwell on her back, sliding down a fireman's pole into the theater room.
Because that's what all fucking cinemas need, a fucking fireman pole.
A fireman pole that leads to the child's room.
Yeah, because, you know, what you need whilst you're watching Batman v Superman is you need a MILF to come down and start doing a pole dance. That's clearly... what needs to happen?
I like Matt Hardy's way of thinking.
He's not wrong.
No.
There, I think we've got an idea for a cinema chain, gents.
I think we do.
I think we have an idea.
Quick! Someone email Odeon!
Quickly, we'll open Spearmint Odeon. Anyway.
Spodeon.
Anyway, never say that again. Right. Continue, Sam.
Working with morons. Next match on the card is Abyss versus Bram. Bram wins. Decay. Bram made out with Rosemary.
2006.
TNA Knockouts Championship. Fatal 4-Way. Sienna the champion versus Gail Kim, Jade, and Marty Bell. Sienna retains. No one knows who Sienna is.
No.
Moving on. Another promo with Matt Hardy having dinner with his family.
This was just insane.
Bearing in mind their dining room has busts of Matt Hardy.
It's just... The thing is, it doesn't even look like him.
No.
I thought he was like...
No word of a
lie.
I thought it was a Sasquatch. I thought it was a bust of a Sasquatch.
Oh, Sasquatch.
But the thing is as well, like, you're downplaying the cinema thing.
Mm.
Like, there's this, like, neighbours, I presume, and their kids, and he's going, I deleted your fucking ass! And he's like, stuff like that, and it's just like, wow. And then, like, the maid, he's like, trying to speak Spanish to her, and she's like,
Senorita.
Senorita, I'm from, like, where was you from?
Basically, Matt tries to talk to the maid in Spanish, because he assumes that all of his staff are from Spain. And she
Mexico,
goes,
Mexico, but okay.
Yeah, same thing, really. And then the maid says, I'm from Armenia. And then Matt goes, wonderful!
That was my favourite part, though!
My favourite was when he started getting angry there was no green beans.
Why are there no green beans? Green beans are a delicacy! Order them post-haste!
And then he goes, but do not bring me mustard! I do not like mustard! Why say that?
Because it's a callback. It's a callback to his Matt facts, where he hates mustard.
Oh!
You didn't get that!
No.
Wow, that is like the biggest fucking character development. They planted those seeds in 2003.
They did.
My mind just got blown. Whoa.
I didn't care. But here's my top three things from this whole thing.
Wow, we're doing lists now.
Wow.
Number one, the exquisite xylophone. Fucking brilliant. Number two! Number fucking two!
Mm-hmm.
The, what was it? The fucking, oh, we just said it. What did he say? Oh, yeah! I'm from Armenia. Wonderful! Number three! You got fucking deleted your ass in front of kids!
I've got a genuine question. I've got a legit question.
I was gonna have another one, but...
Brilliant. You said three, but you were gonna go on
I just thought of another one.
Top three, number four.
But I've got a legit question. I'd love to ask Matt Hardy this, but he never leaves character. You have to appreciate the dedication the guy has to it, to it, the whole thing.
He's a character actor.
So I want to know if he is actually basing this character a little bit on Tommy Wiseau. Because that is something. Like, she going, but I'm Armenian. Wonderful! Like, that is something Tommy Wiseau would do.
It is. It is.
What a funny story, senorita.
The best for it is, it's like, he didn't even know what nationality. It was like, that is excellent. I've never been there. Like, I'd like to
Is Andy actually coming around to the joke of this entire thing now? No.
No!
Oh, no, no, no. He's just appreciating little things about it. For some reason.
Wonderful.
It was really funny, except for most of it.
Exactly. It was really funny, but I secretly hated every part of it.
No, you can find a gem from this.
Right.
But that's it. It's not.
Anyway. The entire thing of these promos is that it's building up to the public deletion, which wasn't included on TNA's YouTube channel for some reason, but I will tell you what happened.
Tell us, Samuel.
Rebby Sky comes out and says,
"Is she in a
everybody,
corset? I need to know."
She's in a corset and she has Maxwell on the back.
Right. She's in
because for some reason, they just have the baby with them everywhere. They've never heard of a nanny.
They're that rich. No nanny.
No nanny. But, she comes out. Matt Hardy then comes out and is like, "Brother Nero, you must get out here." And we see for the first time since his deletion, Jeff Hardy. Sorry, Jeff. The name of Jeff. We see him, because he's not Hardy anymore. He's wearing, to be honest, when he first came out, I thought he looked like a giant blown up vagina. Because he's wearing like this really tight pink hoodie and the sweat marks make it look like the inside of a vagina is just weird.
Fantastic.
It was very strange.
There you go, Andy. That's what you can look at if you need reminding.
Yeah. If you need a bit of hot time, just go watch Impact.
Anyway. It's been that long, it might just do it for him.
Maybe. But Vagina Hardy comes out. And as he slowly walks down the ramp defeated, Rebby yells obsolete at him about 10 times I counted.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Stops on the middle of the ramp, and Matt is like, "As punishment, I will now terminate your Impact contract." And then you hear Josh Matthews on commentary being like, can he do that? No, he can't. But, no, his contract has been terminated, and this is where my favorite part of the entire thing comes. Because Matt Hardy then says, "No, wait, Brother Nero. I cannot have you go and work your craft in New York for Mick Mahan.
Brilliant.
Or go to Honorable Ring or the New Wrestling of Japan."
Fantastic.
And he instead makes Jeff his, I guess his personal slave or something, just his servant. So we got a nanny now. Good job, Matt. Hiring people on the spot. And that was the end of the Hardy vs. Hardy stuff for now.
Okay, I didn't really like the ending.
I'm excited to see where it goes. They're trying to milk it for everything that it's worth, and to be honest, it's fun. It's just fun, so I'm happy with it. But that's not the only reason why we're talking about Destination X. Because it brings us to the main event. It was Bobby Lashley. Sorry, Lashley. TNA World Heavyweight Champion of the World. Against Eddie Edwards. The X Division Champion. Title versus title. Mike Bennett comes out and gives the main event of this one-night stand pay-per-view a fuck finish by introducing the newest signee to TNA. Moose. 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 I can tell none of you are doing this.
I'm doing it! I fucked it up!
Right. Yeah, Moose from Ring of Honor comes in and the Pope was like, "No!" Because even he knows at this point that TNA is a sinking ship, and he doesn't want Moose anywhere near it. But But no, Moose comes out and destroys everybody. And that was it. Moose, gentlemen.
I'm not really familiar with Moose, so it doesn't really mean much to me.
He does fair a front flip sphere that looks good, that's all I know.
Moose is from Ring of Honor. He's a former football player. He's been honing his craft in Ring of Honor for, I think, about 2 years now. He arrived in 2014. And he hasn't won any titles there. He didn't win the TV title or the world title, but he was over in Ring of Honor. Everyone loved to chant his name with a theme song, Moose, 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 which he gets to use in TNA, which is at least somewhat good. He's athletic. He can do a couple of high spots if you need him to. He's good, but the collective groan of everybody when he got introduced to TNA, it resounded so loudly. And I told Carmine this, because Carmine is a big fan of Moose, from watching him in Ring of Honor. And he was like, no, fucking why? Why is he in TNA? And you're probably wondering, why TNA? Why not WWE?
Why, Sam? Why?
I'll tell you. Because, unfortunately, Moose has had unfortunate domestic violence issues in his past. With his ex-wife, who left him when he said he was leaving football to be a pro wrestler.
Oh.
Supportive. Yeah.
Great.
So, here's the thing. WWE won't hire Moose because he had a past of domestic abuse, even though they assaulted each other in this case. They won't employ him, and yet they put several questionably moral-driven people in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I heard that it wasn't that they weren't going to hire him. It's like they were still interested, but it was just not now, and they were waiting for things to calm down. It was just like right person, wrong time, and they were like, we'll come back to you, and then he goes and signs with TNA.
I mean, the only thing I can see is that he could potentially prove himself in a company that is probably going to die soon, but is, like, still a fairly big company. So then they're like, oh, so you've had a good run in two companies. Fuck it. Come to NXT.
Here's what I think about all this. That's a good point, yeah. The thing that people are saying is, wait, why TNA? Why not New Japan? That's something I've been seeing a lot. As a fan of New Japan, I can tell you right now, New Japan is about the work rate. It's about putting on the matches. It's not necessarily character-driven. Whereas if you go to TNA, where you have Broken Matt Hardy, and Eli Drake, and EC3, the proof's in the pudding. You can work on your character there and make it good. That's something that Moose needs. He needs a bit more oomph in the promo category, which I think he'll get in TNA. Now, granted, the company could go out of business by the end of the year and he'd be fucking nowhere without it, but ignoring that for a sec, I don't see this as a bad thing. But that's just me.
We shall see what happens, Samuel.
We shall indeed. I'm glad I'm the only one who really cares about Moose at this point.
Moose.
But anyway, I think we should move on to our next topic of conversation after a commercial break.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Everybody's talking at me.
So, let's take a look at some comments that we've gotten, shall we?
Yeah.
Last time we got a big batch of comments, it was when you talked about Roman Reigns and his suspension.
Ooh, well, we went on for pretty much the whole episode.
Half an episode, in fact.
Oh, half an episode.
Yeah. Impressive, gentlemen.
Was this my rant on Roman, or was this...
This
like,
was your fallout of a rant from Roman.
Okay. God, this was weeks ago. This was like 3 weeks.
It was about 2 weeks.
Shut up.
Jonathan Jerome says, and this is of course in reference to your why don't they just turn Roman heel and it'll fix for business proposition, Andy.
Right.
The thing about the heel turns that you mentioned, namely The Rock and other people like that, is that those guys had charisma, and the heel persona allowed their charisma to shine. I don't think Reigns has any charisma. Now before you say anything, I gotta say, Reigns has charisma. He just doesn't know how to use it. And he hasn't known how to use it for a long time. For a long time, I would say. Since about 2012. Right? He hasn't known how to have an effective presence. And he's improving recently, and it's the fact that he... The main thing about this whole, like, you turn him heel and it'll fix everything. I see what you mean, Andy. I'm not saying that that entire formula doesn't work. That'd be stupid to say. What I'm saying is it won't work for Roman. Because in this day and age, if you turn Reigns heel, who's gonna boo him? You're gonna cheer him, because you're like, yes, he's heel now, yay, I love that he's beating up the good guy. It's like, in this audience that we have now, people are gonna cheer Roman Reigns if you turn him heel.
I don't know, I think...
And failing that, even if it's not 100% cheers, I'm not saying it will be, he will have the 50-50 split. It'll be the John Cena effect. It will in fact be reversing it, in a way, because the men will chant, let's go Roman. And the kids and the women will chant, Roman sucks.
I don't think anyone will cheer for Roman. I strongly believe that...
If you booked him like, say, Kevin Owens, who is a heel.
Right.
Yeah, but everyone
like,
loves.
Okay. One of the reasons why I think people like Kevin Owens is because he has an indie following and, you know, it's Kevin Steen. Because it's Roman Reigns, I don't think any single human being will cheer for Roman Reigns because he was a hand-picked guy.
Well, a lot of hand-picked guys get cheered for.
No, I mean, like, he didn't have an indie presence, he didn't, you know...
Neither
did The Rock?
He did a couple.
A couple shows. No,
yeah, that's
15 years on Ring of Honor. Just a couple of shows. Yeah, that's about 15 years worth of Ring of Honor. Great.
Is that?
I think Jonathan Jerome has a point here.
Yeah, I get what he means. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's.
But I will disagree and say that Roman does have charisma. He just doesn't know how to use it with this character they've given him.
The thing is that I disagree with what Andy said in that. They would start cheering him. The problem is, I think at this point Roman has X-Pac heat.
Yeah, but if you the reason why he has X-Pac heat is because they keep pushing him as a face. Yes.
Yeah.
But if they push him as a heel, would that X-Pac heat not go away?
They keep pushing him full stop.
See,
and he's not the man that we want, that the people want.
I think it's a flaw in who he's.
I can't get the fucking servers.
What?
He's playing Pokemon Go, isn't he?
Oh, of course, if he's talking about servers. But anyway, my point being...
I've had to reboot the game three fucking times.
Who cares? Not me. The thing about Reigns is that he's paired with the wrong people. The guy has 5 years, 6 years wrestling experience. You're putting him in the ring with Ambrose, Rollins, Styles. These are people that have had decades of experience. And you expect him to look... better than them? I think that's where the problem lies. And I'm not saying that Reigns is a terrible performer, I'm saying that he's par for the course for someone who's been performing for as long as he has, right? For a former football player that goes into wrestling, he's not a bad wrestler. He was. He's not anymore. He's improved. He makes dumb decisions. Yes, this we know, and this is a fact. He makes stupid decisions, which shit all over the booking that he's had since January. Right? That's inexcusable. But Reigns, as a guy, he has charisma that he doesn't know how to use. He has a perfectly fine wrestling ability. Fuck it. I'm sick of talking about Reigns, you know, but we gotta talk about him more with Battleground coming up. Bullet Club versus The Shield asks us, do you guys think that WWE will make Roman Reigns a four-time champion after the suspension?
They'd be stupid if they do.
They would be.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be this time. I think Dean will keep hold of it.
I don't know. The thing is, yes, they would be stupid to give him the belt, which is why I think they're going to give him the belt.
No.
I'm worried. I'm really worried about it.
He's just come from a suspension. He's had some of the lowest drawing house shows. The ratings...
Yeah, but the house show draws and the ratings didn't stop him from giving him the belt three times before.
Yeah, but
the other thing as well is that, I mean, thinking about it, is that maybe one of the reasons why they're mentioning it on air and Seth Rollins, pretty much any time he's in the ring or on commentary, he just kind of buries Roman with it. Maybe that's his punishment. So instead of being in the doghouse after he comes back, maybe he will be given it because he'll be like, right, we've basically just spent an entire month running him down. I don't know.
But
I
then what would it say if they put the belt on him then? After they've been running him down for a month? That would look bad on them.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Look at this loser who's been suspended. Here's the top prize.
It is WWE. Let's
I know, that's why I'm scared. That's why I'm actually, like, terrified that they're going to do this at the expense of Ambrose. I'm worried.
Mm.
It's not looking good, guys.
I just...
You're tired of this, aren't you, Andy?
Even I'm tired of this. Just don't put the belt back on a fucking scumbag.
Well, he's... scumbag's a bit strong. Stupid idiot is par for the course.
I didn't want to say stupid idiot, because it's over for some reason.
Right, let's stop talking about Roman Reigns. Is there any more comments?
Alrighty then, we got one from Brian Martinez who says, do you guys think that CM Punk will ever be in the Hall of Fame? People who have done a lot less have gotten in.
Eventually, but I wouldn't put my money on it for like another 20 years, maybe more.
Not anytime soon, no.
Oh, Weedle!
Oh, who cares? I don't think he'll ever be in the Hall of Fame. Never. Sorry to say, but I don't think he will be. It's not like Randy Savage, where the guy wrestling's in his blood and he stays with the wrestling business forever, and then an untimely death means that even 4 years after that, he doesn't get put into the Hall of Fame until several years after. CM Punk leaves the company unceremoniously. Whether he's justified in doing so or not, he left the company unceremoniously. They blacklisted him to the point where they're now, they name drop Hogan now. On, like, the Edge and Christian show. With the Gorka lawsuit. They've been through that phase of blacklisting Hogan. And they still don't mention him, but they're not, like, the avid hatred isn't there. The avid hatred for Punk is still there. No one's allowed to talk about him, and the fact that he's going off to UFC, I think that's just the final nail in the coffin. I really don't think that he'll ever go in the Hall of Fame because of that.
He will only go in if he comes back one day.
If he comes back, yeah. That's the only way.
That'd be the only way.
I disagree.
You disagree?
I disagree.
Why?
People like Bruno Sammartino, The Ultimate Warrior, Randy Savage, these are people that the WWE and Vince McMahon, Bret Hart, are people that Vince McMahon has personally or professionally fallen out with. At the end of the day, right, Brock Lesnar, he's not in the Hall of Fame, but he came back. At the end of the day, the WWE's business, CM Punk, is a profitable name. If they find a way to do business together, they damn sure well will take it. Because they know that the fans would invest money to see CM Punk on WWE programming once again.
You sound like you read that off a script.
No, that's just me. I'm just very good at talking sometimes, thank you.
Oh, really? Sometimes. Only sometimes.
Only sometimes.
Only sometimes.
After I just caught a Pokemon. Boom!
Shut up about fucking Pokemon Go! What's the next
one? Just sat in my room, little Weedle popped up on the table, I was like, I'm having that cheeky Weedle.
Bullet Club vs. The Shield says, in regards to the final deletion, this is the best thing TNA has created in their wrestling existence.
There you go.
Well, other than like those two matches 10 years ago, yeah, it's at least third best.
Everybody's talking at me.
Speaking of Final Deletion, we may as well talk about WWE's quote-unquote parody of it that was aired this past week with The Compound.
Hmm, for those who don't know, The New Day and the Wyatt family, sans Luke Harper for some reason, have been feuding for a couple of weeks now. They've been trading jabs and promos, and it eventually gets to the point where Bray Wyatt is like, hey guys, come over to my house for Netflix and chill.
I don't think that's what happened, Sam.
That's exactly what happened. No. Xavier Woods shows fear. Big E and Kofi want to have a laugh, have a goof and a gaff and a riot about it, but Xavier's like, no guys, we gotta take this shit serious. And then Monday Night Raw happened. And we see The New Day arrive at the Wyatt family compound. Mm. What ensues is approximately a 5-minute brawl between the Wyatt family and The New Day. Oh, where do I start? Where do I start? Okay. Let's start with the editing. I couldn't tell what was happening most of this time.
What was with that weird filter?
The filter. The sepia old film filter.
I don't get why, like, I don't get it.
Why?
Why?
Exactly, why? Why? It's not like you're filming it on a Super 8, for fuck's sake. It's the same cameras you use at the WWE ring. They're clearly HDTV cameras. Why did you go through the trouble of putting a sepia filter on it? Bullshit. Number two, the way it was cut. With the final deletion, there are far too many camera cuts, to the point where if you took a shot every time there was a camera cut, you'd probably go in the hospital before you reach the end.
Yes.
With the compound segment, every shot had a fade transition between it, to the point where it was disorienting. Like, 1 second Bray Wyatt will be behind a car, and then literally a second later he'll be over the car and in front of the car. It didn't make sense. It was as if it ignored the rules of space and time. And that's not good. Liam?
What?
It's
I'm agreeing!
Right, yeah.
The thing is, as well, like, there was no need to edit it like that.
There was no need.
They could have just done it like normal cameras, and if they had done it with no filter and just normal cameras, I don't know how bad it would have been. Would have been maybe okay, but no.
I don't know. And here's the thing. People are lauding this segment to be like, oh, it really, really solidifies the Wyatt family as monsters. Wow, this is straight out of a horror movie. Ellie is very into horror movies. I showed this clip to her.
Yeah.
She found it funny.
Brilliant.
Due to the poor acting.
Yep.
And the editing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand what the fuck was going on. Like, why are there loads of different sheephead masks?
Yeah, the segment ends after they beat the shit out of each other with a couple of weapons, and Bray Wyatt nearly murders Xavier Woods with an axe. Because, you know, choking someone with a necktie is bad, but axe murder's totally fine.
And running a car into a car, hoping...
Running a car into another car is their specialty at this point. But segment ends with the Fireflies... I can't believe I'm saying this, for Fireflies, also known as the Collective iPhones, shining from the woods, and you have people in sheep masks holding lanterns, and it's like, what the fuck is this? What is this? At least with the final deletion, there was a clear-cut story and a point to it. With this, it just felt like they did it, oh, look what TNA's doing, Vince. Oh, damn, we gotta copy this shit now. And then they did. And it was terrible.
But it made no sense on the other end of the scale. Like, having two senior Benjamins was just stupid. Willow coming out the lake, somehow dressed, underwater, was stupid. But then who are these random people? And
why does the forest have a collection of iPhone cameras?
And why are there loads of cars?
Where did the cars come from? Does the Wyatt family own a garage? Who is filming it? Where is Luke Harper? All of these questions and more unanswered.
Isn't Luke Harper injured?
He is. He's filming a movie. But in storyline, they've not provided a reason as to why he's not there.
Oh, fantastic stuff.
Right. And so, this copied with the supposed new SmackDown logo. Are WWE trying to copy TNA?
Wait, what's the new SmackDown logo?
Oh, you haven't seen this?
No.
Oh, goody. I'm about to show you something fun, fellas.
Now, here we go.
Here we are. Fun. The SmackDown logo has been updated.
Good.
And it looks like the Impact logo.
Oh, are you going to send it to us on the Skype chat so I can see
it? I am, once I find it.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Right.
Talk more about the segment.
Well, I go on.
It was shit because I couldn't tell what was going on, and then it didn't make sense. I don't get it. I don't get this. Just
Which did you prefer, Andrew?
God, I don't want any. They're both shit.
They're both terrible in their own unique ways.
Yes, they're it's like two opposite ends of the spectrum. One is just batshit insane because there's drones and there's holograms coming out of the drones and fucking wonderful! And
you were praising that.
On the other end, you've got a filter. It's batshit crazy because there's a filter that doesn't make sense. There's cars everywhere for some reason. There's loads of people with lanterns or phones and an axe. It's fucking stupid.
It's like someone's... It's like the WWE saw the Final Deletion, but they didn't get it. Like, they completely missed the point, so they just ripped off what it looks like and made it a lot worse. I don't know how Liam feels towards it.
I thought it was just... The problem that I had is it's... The reason why it was just didn't work and it was so disorientating was that unlike the Final Deletion where it was just the two of them, there were six of them here. And it was just, you didn't know, from an editing and filmmaking standpoint, you didn't really know the space that the camera was in, so you didn't know where people were placed in terms of how close or how far away they were. And I'm not saying the Final Deletion didn't have that issue, like, I didn't see a moat anywhere near the initial ring, and then they ended up in a moat.
Not a boat, a moat.
I love that line,
I must say.
But because it was just one-on-one, it didn't really matter too much. With this, it was just too chaotic. It was too chaotic. I thought that it wasn't WWE style, right? It was... this is just me with, like, Lucha. I don't like the Lucha Underground approach. Yes, it's different, and I applaud it for that, but it's not my cup of tea, and I know I've said that before. But it's just... I don't know, like, wrestling is what wrestling is, and when you have fucking Bray Wyatt trying to kill Xavier Woods with a goddamn axe, like, that's not what, like, WWE is supposed to be PG corporate, you know, be a star, but also try and kill your fellow co-workers with a fucking axe, yeah, and we'll show
it's okay if you're from the swamp.
Yeah, so it didn't really make much sense.
Another problem I have with it is that the WWE is more than capable of doing segments like that without all the filters and all of the camera cuts and everything. Remember when Stone Cold and Booker T fought in the supermarket?
That was brilliant.
Just do that. Do that again, that but in brilliant. A swamp. Put Shrek in
and
there.
And it was filmed on normal cameras and no weird fills.
Exactly. But, gentlemen, if you direct your attention to the behind-the-scenes curtain...
Am I the only person that doesn't think it's that bad?
The SmackDown logo.
Yeah.
Well, here it is for the viewers, and first of all, I don't know, why Live? Is the name of the show SmackDown Live?
I think they've renamed it to SmackDown Live, yes.
Yeah, I feel
because
like
on Raw, that's all they kept, yeah, on Raw, that's all they kept calling it, SmackDown Live.
Eventually, they'll probably get rid of the word live.
So I imagine so. It's not Raw Live, is it?
Yeah, don't forget, there was also, like, for a few months, it was called the Raw Super Show, and then they just phased that out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just...
And in one episode, it was called The Raw Super Show, starring Brock Lesnar, for one whole episode.
Yeah, and he was on it for, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was a legit thing.
I mean, starring. The word Smack... Like, the actual SmackDown, the actual word in the logo, it's fine. That'll do. It's a change. I like change, sometimes.
No, you fucking
don't. No, you don't.
Fuck off.
Are you kidding?
Fuck off. You're the first to call bullshit on any change.
You are.
No, I like this.
The only time you like change is when it comes to the TV sets.
It's had like, the same logo.
I don't know, he didn't really like the Raw 1000 new change. He was like, it's barely changed!
He either likes full 100% change or zero change.
Yeah, like anything in between.
It's either 100 dimes or zero dimes with this man.
He didn't like the new WWE logo because it was too similar to the old one. Anyway,
Andy.
I like this one, okay? Right, because it's actually different.
Is that it? We did?
Yeah, that's it.
Alright, so, you can go to super.com, talk to us, tell us all the shit, whatever you want to do. New Hall of Fame, super.com/HOF. Go there. You can also download all the MP3s you could ever want, you could ever need, you could ever want in the future. It's all great. WrestlePundit.com, the news, rumors, and wrestling. iTunes, we're on it. Listen to us there. We're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and your mum. Up in Sam Brooks.
We're always on your mum.
That's a quote.
No, don't put it at the end. Liam, say bye!
I'm trying to get into the servers.
Pokemon Go sucks, goodbye.
Just because you don't have it, Sam.
I don't need it. I have a fucking life to function.
I don't need it.
Someone's salty. Someone's salty.
Do you know me well, then? You met me.
Someone's salty.
Do you know me? Do you know who I am?